Darkness and silence envelop a heart that pounds like thunder. All the love I have inside is ripping me asunder. The city is a jungle of pain, but my love is from the soul.
So be so kind as to answer this ad, and you can write on my poem.
Oh, come on.
This is a preview of Now Playing's bonus review of Sea of Love.
Find any records there?
What do you mean, like files?
Records, like gold records, these 45s. There was one playing on the turntable when they found Sea of Love. Remember that one?
Sea of Love.
Our spring 2018 donation drive is currently underway, and Arnie, Stewart, and Jacob are reviewing 11 movies where Al Pacino plays cops and mobsters.
Holy cow!
You can hear these reviews by donating to Now Playing.
Well, I'm hell on wheels once you get to know me, honey.
It's your support that keeps Now Playing operating and putting out new shows without missing a single episode in over 7 years. That's over 400 weeks with a new free show every single Tuesday.
So it goes, life's forever, right?
Find out details how to hear this full episode at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
Pretty amazing.
This week, donors of $35 or more will get this week's Sea of Love podcast.
Well, you told me there was a sex parade.
Here's a preview of that show.
Look, Bal, can I help you with something or what, huh?
This podcast preview may contain harsh language and plot spoilers.
Yo, fuck that. Give up the bad news, homeboy.
Listener discretion is advised.
I believe in animal attraction. I believe in love at first sight. I believe in this.
And it will take a long time to get to Ellen Barkin. Half the movie before she even shows up. A lot of this movie is just ceding the floor to Mr. Al Pacino.
This movie is a character study of Frank. The murder mystery is almost secondary because we're going to spend a lot of time with Frank on his 20th year in the department. He's doing this great roundup of criminals, telling them they're all going to be meeting the Yankees. They did this in Springfield here.
Oh, this is a real thing, yeah. Come get a free car. You want a car, come claim it, and you get arrested.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, no, cops do this all the time.
They did it all over the place once New York did it. Everybody was hopping on the bandwagon. But they captured Samuel L. Jackson 1 year after coming to America. I just love it when he says, fuck you. I mean, just Sam Jackson has to say fuck even before he was famous.
Yeah. It's always fun to see actors before they were famous. But yeah, he's memorably featured among these 45 guys. He's the one outspoken saying, what's the good news if this is the bad news? We're not meeting the Yankees and you're putting us in handcuffs.
I thought that was very nice that the cops made screwdrivers for all these criminals.
Yeah, you might think that's nice, but Frank has a big drinking problem. And while they're doing this to celebrate Frank being on the force for 20 years, when we see him in just about every other scene, Frank would be pouring that stuff into his drink anyway. Any time of day, any day of the week, he is miserable. He is a very unhappy man.
Yeah, I would see Nick Nolte in this role more than I'd see Dustin Hoffman.
Even though this is a commercial project in which Al Pacino took it for the paycheck, he and his longtime producer, I think, really shaped it to have autobiographical details. Al did in the 70s very much have a drinking problem and has never publicly really talked about it, but I think that was a big draw in playing this character.
It was interesting how they depicted his alcoholism, I thought, in this film, because you definitely get the idea that he drinks too much. But for a mainstream Hollywood film, you know, you think at some point, hey, Frank, we got to do something about your drinking, like every 20 minutes, just to drive that point home that he's an alcoholic. You see him do a lot of irresponsible things, but I'm like, oh, I guess he's an alcoholic in this. They're not going to have like a big call out like they normally would in a film. It's just something he's constantly doing that you got to pick up in every scene.
Yeah, we could have another person before they were famous in here, but she got cut out. The ex-wife is played in some scenes that are on the cutting room floor by Lorraine Bracco, who, of course, famously got tumultuously married to Ray Liotta in Goodfellas. But that would have been a couple years later. All her scenes are happening off camera. He is drunk dialing her at 3 a.m.
I couldn't find those scenes, but they have aired. It's in the TV version. They had to take out some of the steamy sex and needed to fill that runtime with Lorraine Bracco. So it's not entirely cutting room floor, but it wasn't on the DVD either.
And was that a drunk dial? Because there's this theme of men not being able to let an ex go. That's going to become very apparent with Rooker. I actually had flashbacks to Cruising during this because I was thinking, is Al Pacino the bad guy in this? Is he killing people? Because he's not able to let his ex-wife go. I just thought this was a jealousy slash stalker thing. I didn't even realize it was a drunk dial. It was just a moment of Frank not being able to let a woman go.
Yeah, it is very similar to Cruising in a lot of ways, I think. It will ask the question, is the cop any better than the criminal?
The drunk dial, I can never tell what is memory versus what I'm intuiting, but it was weird at first because he calls in the middle of the night and says, can I talk to my wife? And he's asking this other guy. I'm like, well, that's really modern of them. Nice and open there. But then he's like, oh, I mean my ex-wife. And yeah, I realize what's going on. It's weird, though. They make a big deal. The new husband is on the force. And when they find this first body, he's the cop who's investigating with Frank. I would think maybe that would be going forward. Like, it would be those two cops on the case.
That's what I thought.
Like a 48 hours kind of thing where they'd have the personal strife or Lethal Weapon. They'd work it out while working the case. But this new husband guy gets pushed to the side for John Goodman.
You're right. Dramatically speaking, as a Hollywood producer, you're like, it'll be great. They have to solve the case together, and it will mean that they have to work out what happened in Pacino's marriage at the same time that they're catching this killer of responders to personal ads. And won't that be significant? But it does strain credibility, right? Even the fact that they're both the ones called to look at the body here, this McKay guy who was gunned down in the opening scene, they're the cops that 36 hours later are on the scene. I can't blame Richard Jenkins for saying, I can't work with this guy, forget it.
But I don't understand why, dramatically, the new husband had to be a cop at all, other than we want to see Frank in a rage and beating him and they have to be in the same place. But they go out of their way to say, we never hung out, we were never friends. How did my wife end up with you? How did she even know you?
Right. It goes to show that, one, they don't want to demonize all cops here. And it's interesting. All policemen in this movie are equated with men. I don't think I ever see a female officer. This world paints the gender war as male cops versus single women.
And I think the reason you have Gruber, the new husband, as a cop, I'm cruising, is the good guy just as bad as the serial killer. He has those same tendencies. So it's a way just to demonstrate that early on. I think it's pretty effective. I mean, it's hooked me because, like you, Arnie, I thought, oh, this is going to be the team up for the rest of the film. This is a very interesting hook.
And I will confess, when I finally realized it wasn't Ellen Barkin, like 2 minutes before they reveal that, I'm like, well, who else could it be? It must be Gruber. Like, he was my guy. I'm like, it had to be Gruber. I don't remember seeing any other dudes. But that wouldn't make any sense.
If you'd like to hear this entire episode, it's available to listeners who donate by August 31st, 2018.
It's called Making People Feel Good, so they'll cooperate. You should try it sometime.
This series is available along with retrospectives on The Godfather, Assault on Precinct 13, Jurassic World, Jaws, Deep Blue Sea, plus the Al Pacino Cops and Al Pacino Mobsters series. The more you donate, the more bonus podcasts you get to hear.
We don't live for our work, do we?
No. I always like to think I live for love.
If you enjoy the show we do week after week, help keep us on the air. You can find the link to pledge by clicking the banner at the top of our website, nowplayingpodcast.com, or go to nowplayingpodcast.com/donate.
What'd you think? Well, it's the new me. Well, here's to the new you. Can't the old me.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Manipulators, liars, guys who wait till you're in good and deep before you find out who they really are, guys who all of a sudden you're fighting for your life.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with the motion pictures reviewed or otherwise referred to herein. All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of the respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review and no infringement is intended.
Oh, that was poetry in motion.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of Venganza Media Incorporated and may not be used without the expressed written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved. Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2018, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
There'll be some great testimony. She's the one. You see, Your Honor, first I whipped it out, then she whipped it out. You catch my drift?
Catch you later.